In a major new report, the United States Department of Agriculture reported that the number of Wisconsin farms fell 11% between 2007 and 2012, but the number of dairy farms in Wisconsin fell 18% in that period. However, the number of milk cows went up 1%. To make sense of all of that, Secretary Ben Brancel, Secretary of the Department of Ag, Trade and Consumer Protection. Mr. Secretary, welcome back to Wisconsin Ag.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
We were talking here about the USDA census report. It's a major report. Why is it a major report? Why is it a benchmark?
This report is done every 5 years. It's done with extensive survey work of all landowners. Then they use farmers markets to find out who's selling there so that they get those names and addresses on the list. They use dairy licenses so they get those names on the list. They use local co-op membership lists so that they get as thorough a review and survey as they possibly can.
So it's very, very valuable to agencies like yours.
When you receive this information, in some cases it's a little shock factor. In some cases it's surprising and you're trying to figure out exactly what's causing the demographics of agriculture to change or to go through different things over periods of time. In Congress, they use this to develop programs at USDA, to give focus to USDA's efforts in the world of agriculture, and of course, the State Departments of Agriculture and our DACAP work closely with USDA in a lot of program activities.
Well, but let's talk about the good news. Ag is how many billions of dollars to Wisconsin's economy, Mr. Secretary?
Well, it's $15 billion today is the number we use, but that's based off of $9 billion of farm gate sales in 2007. Mm-hmm. So the new report says that we're close to $12 billion in sales. So we have almost a 30% increase in farm gate sales. I would anticipate once Steve Dullers at the University of Wisconsin, an ag economist, starts running those numbers through the formulas, that you're going to see that $59 billion number go up pretty dramatically. That's the impact that agriculture has on the state of Wisconsin.
To help tell the story about the USDA's 2012 census, we've developed six graphics. But before we go through that, biggest changes that you saw in the latest census, Mr. Secretary?
Biggest changes, I would say, in total number of farms. That was a little surprising to us. Somebody would say, well, Secretary, you ought to know what's going on. But when you look at the landscape and you interact with all the different commodity organizations and others, you don't see a real dramatic change. But when you see numbers on paper, it kind of comes to light. I would say total number of farms was surprising. The age of our average ownership or principal operator didn't change much. It went up a little bit. That's really not
55 to 56.
Yeah, that's really not surprising, but that does show some changes. The value of products being sold, there's no one place that you can really get a hold of the total value of agriculture except through the census work that's done by USDA.
Okay. Well, let's look at our first graphic, Ben, which you got in front of you, and we're going to show the viewers. 10 counties that lost the most farms, those were, I included counties that had at least 500 farms in 2007. Marinette, Washburn, Ocano, Marquette, Burnett, Lincoln, St. Croix, Taylor. Any reason why most of these farms are in northern Wisconsin, Mr. Secretary?
A little bit different in St. Croix. Okay. Is urban pressure.
From the Twin Cities?
Yep. Even though we had the downturn in the economy of 2008 and 2009, we still had urban pressure in St. Croix County. When you look at some of the other, those were fairly small-sized farming operations, and with the age of people farming in that area, the state of Wisconsin, I believe a lot of those people thought, now's the time to exit farming. From 2007 to 12, that decision was made. When you take a look at Marquette County, and
that's your county.
Yeah, that's my home county. Your
family's been farming in Marquette County for how many generations?
Well, I'm the fifth. My son and daughter-in-law actually own the farm now, so they're the sixth. What's happening there is land ownership is not changing that much. but the size and scope of farming has changed dramatically. In my area, for instance, we have some pretty major farm operations, and they're renting farms. So in the census, it's the operation that becomes the farm unit, mm-hmm. not the ownership. So if you travel along Highway 23 and you take a look at all of the barns that are currently empty, back in the 1950s, most all of those barns had cows in them. A lot of those farmers, even after getting rid of the cows, continued to farm on small acreages. In the last 5 years, even 10 years, but especially the last 5 years, most of those farms are operated by about two or three operations. They're families that have gotten larger equipment, families that are now renting from other neighbors. And so that will show up as a reduction in the number of farms.
Okay. Well, what about in some of these other counties? Let's just take the top three, Marinette, Washburn, or Kano. If they're no longer farms, what's on this land now, Ben?
Well, some of that land has been moved to what I would call recreational activities. And it could be that in those areas, the work land, the ag land, was purchased by another farmer in the area that was continuing to operate. But instead of buying all of the lands, the woodland portion of the farm was sold to somebody else that is not engaged in agriculture at all.
And let's talk about the two counties where the suburbs converted the continuing demand. You would say that would be St. Croix and
Ozaukee.
Ozaukee.
Yeah, those are the urban pressures that are going on. They've been there for a long period of time, and those two counties still show that urban pressures are still pushing on ag, staying in ag use.
Okay, now let's go to the second graphic, which is kind of also an overview, Mr. Secretary. The number of farms, as we said, dropped 11%, which surprised you, and it surprised a lot of people. We went from 78,463 farms in 2007 to 69,754. Just a note. On the 69,754 farms in 2012, later in the census, it talks about 62% of these farms had internet access, or 48,693. How important is internet access to Wisconsin farming in 2014?
Well, very. It's like any other business. Accessing information, getting the most current research that's being done, evaluating products against other products, having a chance to price compare on the computer system, has all benefited the decision-making process that farmers use. If you're in business today and you're trying to communicate and connect to the outside world, you find it extremely important to have internet access. And that's not any less true of the agriculture community.
Are they using it? Are they using GPS satellites to plow and plant?
Some are. Some of the larger operations that have used GPS satellite systems have found that has reduced the volume of seeds being used, because when you're trying to drive a tractor over 100 acres of land and you're trying to keep straight
contours,
rows,
yes.
And follow the contours, you can see if you're off by 6 inches here and there, how many more seeds over 100 acres you could end up. If you're spraying for weeds and putting down product to kill weeds, overlapping of that spray is something that nobody wants to do, both environmentally and because it's costly. So by setting up this GPS systems on their tractors, you actually, your tractor is programmed, you make the turn at the end of the field, and then you leave the tractor alone and it drives itself across the field using the GPS system. And in fact, they are so accurate that when you turn equipment, it can twist and bend on that equipment when you try to make these turns with this equipment. So they will actually travel down the field, skip an area, and come back. And the area they skip will be perfectly measured out so that when they come back around and make a broader turn, that tractor will have a perfect avenue to travel down and
that sounds
place
very
product.
Very costly.
It is, the original investment is very costly, but for farms that are farming several hundred acres, thousands of acres of land, the cost savings in 1 year can pay for that equipment.
Do your son and daughter-in-law use GPS on
no,
your family
we're,
farm?
No, we're, okay. we're not even using tractors anywhere near that large.
I understand. Well, I'm intriguing. We lost 11% of our farms overall, but we lost 18.4% of our dairy farms. Why?
Dairying is it's a tough business. If you remember back several years ago, in 2009 was a disastrous year with very low milk prices, and at that period of time there were a lot of farmers that thought, you know, I've farmed for a lot of years, I'm tired, this is the time to get out and let
so
farming go. And we saw a lot of that happening in 2009 and the repercussions from that very bad year in 2010 and 11. Dairy prices are doing very, very well right now, and things are looking up for the dairy farmers that are still there and still engaged in farming. But yes, we have gone through since the 1940s till today, we've lost 120,000 of our farms that were engaged in dairy farming.
Were you surprised then, given the 18% drop in the number of farms, that the number of cows being milked was up 1%?
No, because we can monitor that fairly closely working with the cooperative structure of the state of Wisconsin and the cheesemakers. And we know that cow numbers have been very stable for us for at least 5 years. It's 1% increase, but for us that's quite stable. Prior to that, we were losing some cow numbers, so what has happened is our average cow herd has gone up. And we're over 100 cows per farm now.
Yeah. If you trust my math, in 2007, the average cow herd was 88, and now, if you trust my math, using these figures, we're up to about 110.
Yeah, those are really good numbers. Your math is pretty accurate.
Okay.
I will say, though, that we have some very large operations out there that are milking several thousand cows, and we still have a lot of operations that are still milking 50, 60 cows.
Those large operations, what's the term, CAFRs?
Do I have the CAFOs, term? CAFOs, they call them confined animal feedlot operations, and they are counted by animal units, and one dairy cow is 1.4 animal units. A beef cow is one. So if you have over 750 on your farm, animal units, then they are classified differently. And with that classification becomes an increased amount of environmental requirements on those farms as far as how they manage their manure, how they manage their land, and are monitored much more closely.
We're seeing a lot more of those, what's the term, CAFOs?
CAFOs.
Are those family farms or are they corporates?
In the state of Wisconsin, almost all of our farms are family farms, very close to 99%, and that includes the very large ones.
Okay, time for graphic number three. Mr. Secretary, cattle farming.
Yep.
We have a 21% drop in cattle farming now. Is that beef and dairy?
We think that number is beef and dairy. What I will say is our beef numbers for the state of Wisconsin, we actually have 14,000 individuals that are farming with some beef on their farms. Most of those are very small.
Okay.
We don't have large beef operations in this state. We have today, presently, it doesn't show you on your graphs, but today we have 10,334 licensed dairy farms, and we have 14,000 farmers that have beef cows. So we actually have more people engaged in beef production than we do dairy.
But the animals, the number of
the
animals,
number of
are
animals
low.
Is very low.
Okay. Yeah. I was intrigued, Ben, 52% drop in the number of hog and pig farms. What's up with that?
Well,
why?
Let's talk infrastructure. Most people don't really understand that a farm requires a lot of other things to go along with this. Service, for the kinds of things that they have on their farms, whether it's electric service or veterinary service or other kinds of services. It requires equipment and support services. So dairy farms require people that have dairy equipment businesses or implement dealerships. And then you have the processing side of it. If you all you have is milk, you have to have it bottled or you have to make a value-added product. If you have hogs, you have to move them where they can be harvested. And in the state of Wisconsin, we lost almost all of our hog harvesting operations back many years ago. And with the loss of those, our hog industry changed. I would say our hog industry is more focused on genetics and the sale of breeding stock to other states than it is on market value of pigs produced for meat.
Okay. Just down the rest of these categories, poultry and egg production, 31% drop. And is that a very telling number, sir?
No, because I think that most of our large egg poultry operations have been very stable. You have Arcadia Chicken up north. You have SNR Eggs. You have Genio Turkey. So the poultry is fairly stable. There are a lot of new backyard flocks where people have six chickens and produce their own eggs, and a lot of that
including
is...
Including in urban areas. We're seeing
yeah, and it's very new, kind of that type of activity.
Okay. All right. Moving on to chart number four. I was intrigued. Oilseed and grain farming up 46%. Mr. Secretary, oilseed, what's that?
That could be the soybeans.
Oh, okay. Soybeans. So this is why the big three, soybeans, corn, and wheat, doesn't show up on this chart?
Yes, because they're all grouped and categorized under oilseed and grain farms.
All right. So oilseed and grain farming up 46%. How significant is that, sir?
It's very significant. I mean, it shows that the types of farms here in the state of Wisconsin have moved away from alfalfa and forage production that supported our dairy industry. And as you lose the cow, you lose the need for alfalfa and some of the other legumes and move into grains. And that means we have a lot of farms that are moving commodities, and they're moving commodities to grain elevators or to ethanol plants or to other kinds of processing facilities in this state.
Okay. Thank you. If there's no other point on graphic four, let's go to graphic five. Boy, farms by economic class. This is not, I think you said as we talked prior to the show, this is not the profit. Is this sales by farm here? Help me understand
these numbers. These numbers are general sales from the farm.
Okay.
And I will tell you, I was not surprised by the $1 million in more.
I was. What's going on?
The reason I wouldn't be is because the value of products being sold has gone up dramatically in the last 5 years. Just take corn. In 2007, $3.50 corn was being talked about. Mm-hmm. 2012, we were talking $7 corn.
So it's doubled
in its value. So just that... that aspect changes that big number, as well as you saw grain production by number of farms is up dramatically in the state of Wisconsin. In 2012, we had relatively good milk prices, not like we did in 2013, but relatively good. The area that I was really surprised on was the area of less than $50,000.
18%.
That was very surprising to us. With the enthusiasm around farm-to-market buy local, farm-to-school programs, with all of the interest and all of the discussion generated around there and all the people that we think we see engaging in these activities, mm-hmm. we thought those numbers would go up. So we were very surprising when we saw we had a 10,000 number of farms less in those categories with that kind of economic impact.
These farms, economic class of less than 50,000, Mr. Secretary, are these part-time farmers?
Many of them are part-time farmers, or they are very specialized in what they're producing and what they're marketing. And it's probably an effort to produce something on the land they have without relying on it for their living.
Okay, but your agency still expected an increase, and we're surprised at an 18%
decrease. Yeah, very surprised, yes.
Okay, before we get some general questions, let's look at the final graphic. Is this the average profit on a Wisconsin farm?
This would be a salary.
$44,000?
This would be a salary for a farmer. Man or woman, whoever, this is the profit that they would have on the average farm in the state of Wisconsin.
Okay, $44,000 isn't a lot of money, is it?
Well, no, you can look at it two different ways. It's a pretty substantial increase over what it was in 2007.
Yep.
But, on the same token, after you've invested hundreds of thousands of dollars and put in hours and hours every week of your life trying to provide for your family and for the furthering of your farming operation, to have those kinds of numbers as the average, that's pretty challenging.
Wisconsin farmers are not doing it to get rich. Is that one
takeaway
from this number?
It's passion.
It's passion.
If you want to say, how do you encourage young people to get engaged in farming, they have to have the passion.
You don't show them this number, do you?
This is not a number to attract them to a job. This is not a job number.
Okay.
Now, if you were going to other kinds of activities where you didn't have to invest and all you did was get a job and work your 8 hours a day and you worked your 40-hour weeks and a little bit of overtime and somebody told you that was your number, that's pretty good.
Okay.
That's pretty good. But when you start to tell a young person, you're going to go out and you're going to invest $500,000 and we're going to expect that you will work at least 40 hours a week minimum, and this is the kind of return you can hope for, if they don't have the passion, there's no way you can attract
Let's
them.
Talk quickly about the cost of production between 2000 and 2012. The combines cost more. What about farmland, though? I was seeing stories in Iowa that obscene prices for farmland. Have we seen equal increases in the price of Wisconsin farmland?
We haven't seen our land in Wisconsin go up as dramatically as it has in Iowa and Illinois. That was basically driven by soybean and corn prices. But our agriculture is much more diverse. It's much more, I think, stable in that dairy, vegetables, the mix is much greater in this state than it would be in Iowa. And while land prices have gone up, and some would say dramatically, not nearly as much as in Iowa, but equipment costs is up. The census showed that the cost of production is up, with fertilizers being more costly, seed is much more costly, and the other kinds of products that you use to support your farming operation are much more costly. So even when you take a look at livestock operations, when corn is very expensive, soybeans very expensive, that means feed for animals is very expensive. So even input costs for a livestock operation have gone up dramatically in the last 5 years.
And a tractor now, a fairly sophisticated tractor, if you're farming 250 to 400 acres, costs what now?
Oh, $100,000 plus.
$100,000. Mm-hmm. What about some terms that we hear in the news media? What about organic farms in Wisconsin?
Organic is still doing very well in the state of Wisconsin. They have a very good marketing system. Organic Valley on the western side of our state has done a tremendous job of branding their products, and they have found some markets for it. It's still a very small part of agriculture in Wisconsin. It is not what I would call overly significant in the volume of agriculture, but to that person that's producing organic, to that marketplace, it is extremely valuable and very important.
Fish farming. Just read a story, a Dodgeville area farmer is producing salmon?
Yeah, they're exploring different species of fish. They're trying to find different techniques and methodologies. I will say that we have some very profitable fish farms in the state of Wisconsin. The aquaculture industry is doing okay, but it is still a very challenging business to be in. We have a very significant aquaponics business here in the state of Wisconsin that has encouraged people to get into the production of fish along with vegetables. It's a closed system, and you have your fish that you feed. The material, the manure, the, if you will, or excrement goes into the water. The water flows under the vegetables where the roots come through the floating apparatuses, pull the nutrients in, and you grow vegetables. The water is then returned to the fishing operation. Mm-hmm. And so it's a new method, a new approach, and some pretty good people taking advantage of it.
What are you hearing from Wisconsin farmers, just quickly? Have they been able to take advantage of the Affordable Care Act? Has it changed their ability to get health care?
I have heard from some that they haven't seen any change in their health care circumstances or situations. They either were part of a co-op or they were connected in with some pretty decent health insurance through their spouse's job.
Okay.
I have heard from some others, though, that were in high-risk categories with some very challenging circumstances in their family, and in those particular situations they have been able to obtain some general health care benefits that they hadn't been able to get in the past.
So it's kind of a mixed
bag? It's a mixed bag.
Okay. Real quickly, since we're almost out of time, impact of the California drought on Wisconsin ag?
I don't know that you're going to see it directly on Wisconsin's ag, but I do know that the ag community of California is very worried about their fruit and vegetable production, and nuts in particular, because those trees take a lot of water and they don't know that they'll have it for long-term viability. And eventually we think the dairy industry is going to be really struggling with water availability.
In California?
In California.
Well, but I just heard a news story this morning. Our hard winter has cut our milk production. How severely?
6 months straight we've had some losses. This month is 0.3% under what it was prior. That's a little disheartening to us because the processing community has invested millions of dollars in efficiencies in the last year in new plants. They have developed markets, so there's a great deal of demand for the dairy products coming from Wisconsin, cheese, yogurts, mm-hmm. butters, and others. And they have to have raw material, which is milk. And so when you see milk production sliding in the state, both due to the hard winter last year and the quality of feed produced in the wet conditions of last summer, then that means they have to reach out further to find the milk to keep their facilities operating.
Which means, as I think you told me the last time you were on this show, we must import milk. Our cheese industry must import milk, correct?
Yeah, we were importing 10%. It would not surprise me if we really did an in-depth survey with the cheese-making industry, with the milk that's available from Wisconsin, that hasn't even creeped up to maybe 14-15% of the milk needed for our processing industry is coming from outside the state today.
Can we ship our products, given the shortage of freight rails because of the emphasis on shipping oil produced by fracking?
Well, I'll tell you, that's really put a challenge on us. The cars that were used for grain movement are now used for sand because they can get more more rental
sand
rate on
out
those
to
cars.
The oil production.
Yeah.
Areas.
The cars that were originally used for moving ethanol to Canada or into the export markets are tripled the rate they used to be for rent.
Triple.
Yeah, because they can use it for moving oil from the oil fields to refineries. And we're finding challenges of even finding freight cars that have refrigeration capacity, because for every three semis on the highway today moving refrigerated products, you can take them off the road if you have one freight car.
Well, one freight car.
Yeah, so that's a real concern that we have in agriculture, and I know that the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce are working directly with the rail trying to develop cars for movement of logs and lumber. Because the export business for logs has gone up dramatically in the last 3 years.
What about our exports?
First 3 months of this year, we are over. We are 25% over the first 3 months of last year.
That's
25%.
Okay, two final questions. Number one, are you going to use this USDA census to recommend any major changes to the governor as he or she readies their next state budget? Any major tweaks that we have to do in farm policy?
I don't believe so. Okay. Not at the state level. I would recommend when I visit with Secretary Vilsack at USDA some things that might help Wisconsin based on USDA's program activities through Farm Service Agency or NRCS or Rural Development. Maybe the issue of internet access and the need for broadband means that USDA's rural development has to continue to make that a focus of effort so that our farming community as well as our ag business community doesn't fall behind.
5,000 of our 48,000 farmers that have internet access are still relying on dial-up. Just a PS.
Yeah.
Okay, final question. Look ahead to the next 5 years. Is the new farm bill going to have any major impact in Wisconsin on some of these numbers that we've talked about?
It will have some changes in that the risk management portion of what is farm policy will change. From direct payments and monitoring prices and giving money to a farmer because price fell, to actually in purchasing insurance policies and managing their cost and the premium rates according to what they want for final income numbers. And you will also see an additional effort in programs like specialty crops. USDA has put some new money into specialty crop research, which supports potatoes, cranberries, cherries, green beans, and other types of specialty crops to enhance those opportunities for profit. And you will see conservation continue to be a focal point. But USDA sometimes has troubles moving to new methodologies of conservation. I'll give you, for instance, right now we have terracing on some farms, and we find that has been valuable. It's been in for years, and it's extremely valuable. With some of the machinery that they're using nowadays, those terraces are not wide enough, and so they're saying we have to remove some of those. So the fear is we will lose the value. But we have to move to a new methodology where when a farmer does his cropping system, then he uses cover crops. So when you plant your corn and you're done with your corn and you're harvesting, then you immediately plant a cover crop, which will be more like a grass-based mixture. And it could be rye or barley, and that will stabilize the soil and will give you the same impact, but it's a different method. And one of the things that we found with the insurance programs that USDA was bringing out was they didn't allow for that to happen in the insurance program. We're continuing working with them and making efforts to make modifications to modernize along with what's actually going on the land.
We saw a 11% drop in the number of farms between 07 and 12. Are we going to continue to see a double-digit drop?
It would not surprise me to see the farm structure change, not moving from family to corporate, but moving from multiple family activities, more so even than we've seen today. I would not be surprised to see values to continue to go up on farms. The number we really want to monitor and watch closely is the acres of land used for cropping versus acres of land that are taken out of production for development, because when that happens, it's lost forever.
Okay. Well, in summary, your agency learned something, as it always does, from the census.
Yes.
Very good. Mr. Secretary, thanks so much for explaining these very important issues to America's Dairyland.
Well, thanks for having me in. Appreciate it.
Thank you.